Just when he found, to his delight, that he'd managed to conjure the most perfect soft-boiled egg, his phone rang.
"Goldman here," he said.
"A dead girl has been found. You're it," said the duty officer. Georg got up from the dinner table, found a pen in a drawer, and wrote down the address in the margin of his newspaper, which he still hadn't opened. Astrid came out of the bathroom in a steam that smelled of lemon and rosemary. Aqua di Parma. "Work?"
"Yes,"
was all Georg said. She kissed him on the top of the head and tugged at the collar of his bathrobe, the pre-war one, as she called it. "Then you'd better get dressed. You can't solve a murder in this thing." Georg left the egg and called Trine Valentin to give her the Christianhaven address. Astrid came out of the bedroom and started eating his breakfast.
"I put your clothes out for you," she said.
Georg looked longingly at the egg, but didn't say anything. Some work habits die hard, and Astrid's many years in the costume department of the Royal Danish Opera had taught her to put out the clothes before the wearer thinks to ask. 10 minutes later, Georg was on his way. Harry Madsen's cousin was a train operator. Last year, he'd hit someone who'd jumped in front of the train, and since then, Harry had considered himself lucky to be working as a captain. To not wake up every night to the sound of bodies slamming into the machine. But on this Saturday morning, the first trip of the day on the Red Route, the boat almost full, his luck ran out. Carmen was the one who discovered her. Without thinking, and without removing the microphone from her mouth, she shouted, "Stop, Harry! There's a dead girl under the bridge!" She covered her mouth with her hand and turned off the microphone. One of the passengers was shaking his head.
"That's not a girl. That's a sex doll," he said.
But Carmen could tell that he didn't believe his own words. Harry instantly pulled into back gear, but it took a few moments for the boat to react, and for a few eternal seconds it seemed to be about to collide with the body, which was moving this way and that in the surface of the water, right by Sancta Anna Street. Her arms were white, her dress blue, and her hair, floating like seaweed, was blonde. Georg managed to get this story out of Harry Madsen little by little while the medics pulled the body out of the water. Oscar Vid, from the technical department, photographing everything. Trine had arrived a few minutes after her boss, a sports bag slung over her shoulder, and Georg guessed that she'd also had different plans for her Saturday. Was it CrossFit she did? Georg vaguely remembered the lecture she'd given him when she first started working on his team, having been transferred from Frederikshaven. They'd been in the cafeteria, and just below her bangs, her blue eyes had shone with disgust at the many carbs on his plate. He remembered thinking that her 28 was no age at all. Trine jumped into the boat and collected the names of all the passengers, something that had to be done, but which Georg doubted would lead anywhere. He turned towards Carmen, who was surprisingly calm. She was skinny and dark-haired, with a vague accent, Spanish or Italian, probably.
"Are you okay? Do you need to talk to someone?" Georg asked.
She shook her head. "No, I'm all right. I'd just like to get out of here."
Georg took a good look at her.
"All right. If you change your mind, let me know."
Georg got her full name and address and asked her to go through what had gone down. She couldn't tell him much. The boat had left at 9:03 a.m., the delay caused by a married couple who came running at the last minute. Yes, Carmen had been the first to see the girl. Her back had been turned upwards and she had been stuck under the bridge. It would have been around 9:30, but she hadn't checked her watch. Yes, the captain had called the main office, who'd then contacted the police. One of the medics poked him on the shoulder, looking carefully at Carmen.
"She's out of the water now."